أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من شر الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الميامين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم، وأن الله سميع عليم. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we are going to continue the session or the lecture of our responsibilities in the major occultation. We heard or we understood in our previous sessions that the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif was born, and he exists, and he will come one day. And we presented all the evidences, historical, Quranic, ahadith, even some of the logical concepts we presented to prove the existence of the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to create the balance between the forces of good and evil. So if the force of evil is there, shaitan, and he's going to stay, that means there has to be a force of good also, or somebody to direct the people towards good. So that kind of balance is important, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just, is a logical attribute. It can be easily proven by logic. Therefore, this kind of balance is important on the earth. There cannot be, the earth cannot have a force of evil and without a force of good on the other side, on the counter side. So there has to be a balance between that reflects the just of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents these two ways, that you have two ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses that there are two ways. فَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ There are two paths. إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا So if there is a deviator, there has to be someone who brings us back on the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, which is one of the infallibles, be it Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or one of the infallibles, or the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Now, we mentioned that there has to be, there are some responsibilities. Okay, Imam is there. Imam exists. So what is our duty? We mentioned that, number one, first of all, we have to believe in the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and believe in his leadership, authority, and imamat, and his wilayat, and then also that this authority requires obedience from me. So if he's my Imam, if he makes a command, I have to listen to him, I have to obey him. And we mentioned the hadith of Ghadir last night, which indicates such kind of authority. One thing I want to mention, I mentioned that authority of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is like the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there is no prophethood after the Prophet. We mentioned, Ya Ali, أَنْتَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى O Ali, you are to me as Harun was to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but there is no prophet after me. So the title of prophethood you will not get. but you are as the prophet, but you are not a prophet. So it means your rank is as same as the rank of the prophet. But I just want to point out one thing. We were mentioning about the responsibility, authority, rank, but of course, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ashraful khalqi ajma'in. There is no human or no creation on the earth or on any spot in the universe more better, more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We mentioned second thing is to fulfill our duties, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the messenger, obey our imams, and then to avoid the haram things. And also we mentioned that if you really want to support the imam, the best support is to be a nice follower of imam. Doing your wajibat, obligations, avoiding haram, prohibitions, and being a nice person with excellent morals and akhlaq. And then if you fall into a sin, repent from your sins as soon as possible. Don't leave that gap or bridge or barrier of sin between you and the imam. We all are not infallibles. We all, by God, sometimes we make mistakes, accidental. So we have to continuously be in the repentant status also, because we mentioned that our imam looks at our deeds. And it is a shameful situation that imam looks at my book and he finds out that I have committed a sin and disobeyed him, it will be a shameful situation. And then we started to talk about the intizar, the waiting. We said there are two types of waiting. One is the microwave phenomena, like you put a chicken or fish in the microwave and wait for it until to be cooked. Do nothing, just wait, you know. But smart people, they will not just wait like that. They will cook other stuff. But let's say he doesn't have anything to do except to cook this fish. So this is the microwave phenomena. That means we are waiting, do nothing. Other one is no. Like somebody is coming to meet you, you are going to clean your house, you are going to clean, make everything, prepare nice food, prepare nice place for your beloved guest who's coming. That is another type of waiting, which is an active waiting. So what type of waiting we are supposed to do? Passive or active? We mentioned that hadith in Usul al-Kafi, based on that some of the ulamas or previous ulamas also, they said that waiting means do nothing. Imam is going to do everything. Why? Because they mentioned that Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam told his companion, whoever rises before the coming of the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif is like this baby bird who tries to fly and falls down. They took this as a negative indication. Don't do anything because you will try to rise, you'll fall down. No. It has another strong meaning that baby bird does not give up. You try, you'll fall down. Try, you'll fall down. But finally you will fly with the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is another thing which also we mentioned. The reason we don't take this negative, because it contradicts the ayat of the Quran, which we mentioned that the project of our imam is bringing a change in a society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change anything in the people unless they start from themselves. They start the change. They have to put the foundation of the change. So that means that we have to do our intizar, our waiting should be an active waiting, not a passive waiting, not a negative. So from where did these people they get this negative? Also, there are ahadith in the books of School of Companions. Go look into these ahadith. Not in the School of Ahlul Bayt. School of Ahlul Bayt, this was one hadith which can be taken into different direction, which does not contradict the indication of the Quran. There are other ahadith which are also, they have different indications and not a negative. School of Companion, they have ahadith. Number one, groups of ahadith mentioned like this. If you have a tyrant ruler, submit yourself to him. Because he is the Khalifa of Allah. He is the successor of Allah. Even though he's tyrant, we cannot take that kind of thing. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam taught us no way. No way we can accept a tyrant and give him a pledge. You know? So that's contradicting practically, without practical denouncing of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam to this concept. So school of companion there for hadith. That's why in Middle East, all those precedents, they're using these ahadith were written in the palaces of Bani Umayyah, Umayyads and Abbasids, Bani Abbas. Why? To just give them this injection. People that are rising, give them injection. No, the Prophet said, don't rise. Your Hakim, your ruler is Khalifa of Allah. No matter what happens, he is the Khalifa. God has given them Khilafat. You cannot go and rise again. These kind of ahadith were spread. And we don't have this kind of ahadith. We have practical positions of our Imam alayhi salatu wasalam denouncing the tyranny and injustice. And then another type of ahadith, be quiet. When you see the Abbasis and Umayyads type things, when you see people are fighting each other, just go inside your home and just lock the doors. You don't have anything to do. These are by Khawarij. Khawarij, when Muawiyah was fighting with Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Khawarij, they backed off. They said, no, we cannot fight. Imam Ali, this is man kuntu maula fa Ali. No. Muslims are fighting each other. We have to back off. So, close your doors. Silent. Don't speak. Back off. This kind of phenomena was also narrated by the Khawarij. And then, luzum al-bayt, do not do anything and avoid opposing the tyrant ruler because he is from God. You will find these ahadith in the books of companion. So this type of intibar is not the intibar which Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam support. Even many of the school of companion, they disagree with this. Many of them, Umar al-Mukhtar and all those great heroes in the last centuries which they uprised against the occupation and against the colonies, of Western colonies. These were many of them, they were from school of companion. So even from school of companion, they don't accept. Where is this hadith accepted and practiced? In the countries where there are Wahhabism and extreme Wahhabism? No, this is our Khalifa of Allah on the earth. This is Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Hakim is Allah's. Don't say anything. Even if it's zalim, take him. These kind of ahadith, that's the market of these ahadith. Not in the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So basically, this kind of negative awaiting is not the awaiting which we are required. We are required awaiting which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will not change any nation unless they change themselves, unless they start from themselves. We mentioned 5 points last night or 4 points and our time ended. We'll try to continue. Number one was implementing. Intidhar, active intidhar means implementing the duties and responsibilities. Number two, observing the ethics and morals. We all need this, including me. We all lack. So we need to abstain from all those kind of things which hurt people, which hurt people's feeling and all these kind of, which bring barriers. And we need to bring relations. We need to, not just between Shias. We mentioned Islamic unity is important. Shia unity. But we have to start from human unity. Respecting every peaceful human being. Number two, respecting every peaceful Sunni. Then, every Shia, they need to get united. They need to stick to each other. There is a lot of common between the followers of Ahlul Bayt. So that's why we mentioned observing the unity is very important. Marja this, marja that. We mentioned in Qabr, in grave, you are not going to be asked about Maraja. You are going to be asked about Vilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Your good deeds, your bad deeds, period. That's it. But nobody is going to ask you in Qabr, who's your marja? Huh? Your marja fulan? Go to hell. Your marja fulan? Go to paradise. It's not going to happen. Even on the day of judgment, nobody is going to ask you. All what you are going to be asked is Vilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the authority of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and your deeds, good deeds, and you will be accountable for bad deeds. That's it. These things are just individual responsibilities. Everybody has his own way to fulfill and satisfy his responsibility. So that was number four. Number two was ethics and moral. Number three was preparation. We have to prepare ourselves, our families, our beloved ones, our surrounding, whoever they are surrounded by us. And then we surround them. And then we have working for Islamic unity. And then number five. This is point five, which we start from here. We mentioned, since the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, They used to appoint representatives. There are two types of representatives. Specific representatives and general representatives. When Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Hassan al-Askari died, the time of minor occultation started. In minor occultation for about 70 years, we had specific representatives. Started from Al-Amri the father, Al-Amri the son, Hussein ibn Ruh, Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari, and the 12th Imam said, no more, don't appoint anybody after you. That was the fourth representative. After that, the Ruwatul Hadith, narrators of the Hadith, who knows how to distinguish the good Hadith from the bad Hadith, those who know our Ahkam, Ahkamana, our laws, that means the Mujtahid, the jurist, the trusted one, the pious one. This Mujtahid is considered, who's pious, who's trusted, who's verified, who's qualified, he's considered the representative of your Imam. He's the representative of the 12th Imam. We have met, mashallah, many, they're all. Because Imam did not say, go to the Ravi of the Hadith. He says, irja'u ila ruwati hadithina. Narrators with the plural S at the end. That means there are many. So Imam did not say only one. Imam said several narrators. So several mujtahideen. So all those mujtahideen who are qualified, they are the representatives of our 12th Imam. We have to support them. Supporting them is supporting the 12th Imam. Period. So our duty, one of our duties in the occultation is to support our verified and qualified and pious maraja. Number six, creating spiritual, one of the things which reflect our intidar, creating spiritual bond between you and the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Between you and the 12th Imam. The connection we mentioned, emotional bond and love with the Imam. How? By knowing the Imam. We cannot impose Imam on people. We have to let them know who the Imam is. We mentioned, if you have a friend, the more you know him, the more the bond is created between you and him. So if he travels somewhere, you miss him. Why? Because that bond, that emotional bond has been created between, the metaphysical bond. He doesn't like you for your wealth. You don't like him for his wealth. You just like him because he's a nice person. You just like him because he's a pious person. So there is a bond created. This kind of bond, which is created between parents and children, between husband and wife, between friends and friends, this kind, or more than this kind of bond, or this type of bond, needs to be created between a person and his 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. The question is, how many among us have this type of bond? Many of us, no. Why? Because we don't know our Imam. Why? Because we never ever try to learn about our Imam. And that's the purpose of these lectures. We are trying to put the history of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam on the table so that you have an opportunity to know the Imam. The more you know, automatically the more that bond will be created between you and Imam. So what reflects this bond? Remembering the 12th Imam every time. You know, of course you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember Allah, but He's your Imam now. If you remember your beloved friend, remember Imam. If you remember your wife, remember Imam. If you remember your husband, remember Imam. Because you remember these people who are attached to you. Make the Imam one of the strongest people who have a strong attachment between you and him. This is what we say. When no Imam, make a connection, strong connection. And when you make a connection, what are the things which reflect? Remembering the Imam. When you have a nice friend, you offer him gift. He offers you gift. Offer gifts to the 12th Imam. Sheikh, what, Imam is poor, he needs our gifts? No. Gift is something which is an appreciation of friendship, appreciation of relation. When you offer gift to somebody, that does not mean that he's in need of your gift. No. It reflects a kind of appreciation inside yourself. Offer gift to the Imam. Our Imam, he loves the gifts from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. We have a hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam used to appreciate the gifts, used to take the gifts. Why? The gift reflects the kindness of the person who offers it. So if somebody offers you kindness, you accept that kindness, you embrace that kindness, you appreciate that kindness. So gifts, offer. What will we offer our Imam? Gift. Recite والصلوات. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. And make the intention that, oh God, this salawat has great thawab. Give this thawab of this salawat to my imam. He loves it. Our a'imma, they love this salawat. أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The Prophet ﷺ says, most closest amongst you on the day of judgment, the person who sends more salat on me, on the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet loves when people, they send a salawat on him. The Prophet loves this salawat. Our a'immas, they love this salawat. Imam, the 12th imam, he loves this salat. So whenever you say sometimes you want to give salawat, it looks, but just one, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. Yes, to you, maybe it's nothing, maybe it's, but to Imam, it's more precious than gold, jewelry, whatever kinds of expensive material thing. For Imam, this is more expensive than those kind of things. So this is the value of descending the blessings on our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household. This could be gift to the Imam. Ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. When you feel that you want to give a gift to the Imam, offer ziyarat of Imam Hussein. Sheikh, man, we don't know how to read this lengthy ziyarat. That's fine. Just go towards Karbala, direct towards Karbala, and say this one sentence. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is this too much? As less as this. If you want to recite the longer ziyarat, nurun ala nur, the more the better. But at least if you just say, oh God, I'm reciting this ziyarat of Imam Hussein on behalf of my beloved 12th Imam, give the gift, give the thawab, gift it to the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam loves this. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he was sick. And one person comes and visits him. He tells him, take this, one of the companions, take this money, go visit my grandfather Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam, what should I do? He said, pray, do dua for me under the dome of Imam Hussein. This guy was surprised. Master, you are my Imam. Who am I to go there and do dua for you? Imam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some spots. He loves his servants to offer or to ask him to do dua from those spots. And one of those spots is the dome of my grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he has the power of kun fayakun, but he's educating. I love this ziyarat of my grandfather, Imam Hussein. There are so many ahadith of ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam are mutawatira, uncontested, strong, 100% authentication, guaranteed authentication. This is the thawab of ziyarat of Imam Hussein. I cannot mention in this small session. You know, it needs one whole lecture. So visit Imam Hussein. After you are done with your salat, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. That's it. Assalamu alayka wa ala abaika wa abnaika al-ma'sumin. Just two sentences. These two sentences will come to you in your grave. It will come to you in your most difficult times of your hereafter, while the angel of death, he's taking the soul away from you, and you are under stupors of death, the ziyarat of Imam Hussein will come. What is ziyarat of Imam Hussein? You visit Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein says, whoever visits me, I will visit him. The Prophet said, whoever visits my son Hussein, I will visit him on his difficult time. What more difficult could be the times of death and after death? Imagine, it's a very free, like it's like not Thanksgiving sale, Christmas sale, it's much more above. It's Imam Hussein's sale. You know, you just visit Imam Hussein. Prophet visits you. Because Prophet is more generous than you. If you visit his beloved son, he will visit you also. From the death until the day of judgment. So, when you visit Imam Hussein and say, oh Allah, give my thawab. If I get thawab, give it to the 12th Imam. That's my gift from him. The 12th Imam loves it. This kind of creation bond, which is created between you and Imam by offering gifts. Do you think Imam is less generous than you? No way. He's more generous than you. Look how the gifts of Imam come to you. Look how the blessings of Imam come to you. So, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ The compensation of favor is nothing but favor. And our a'imma in their history, whenever any servant comes and gives them some gift, they give that servant twice and 10 times more than what they get. So our a'immas, they are more generous. So this is one of the ways where you continue creating. What else? Communicating. When you give charity, $1, quarter, maybe 1 penny. You might say this is 1 penny. But the reward which you get is much more great when you put this 1 penny and say, oh God, give the reward of this penny to my 12th imam as a gift. Our a'imma, they love the gift from their followers. It expresses strong relation, strong bond between you and Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Seek help from the imam. We mentioned our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask him to help us. But on the earth, like, okay, will not that be shirk or something like that, making partners with Allah? No, it's not like that. If you are sick, you ask Allah, oh Allah, cure me. But don't you go to the doctor? Did somebody say that's shirk? No. Because why? You have to seek the causes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. If somebody, if a prowler or a burglar is inside your property, what will you do? Ya Allah, Ya Allah. No. Call 911 beside Ya Allah. You know, otherwise you'll be looted. So these kind of, why? Because this police is a cause of Allah on the earth for your security. So you have to seek these causes. That they said that there's a lady, old lady, they told her if you recite Ayatul Kursi, Kursi means chair, you know. If you recite Ayatul Kursi, the verse of chair, Kursi has throne also, different meaning. But literal meaning, just regular meaning in regular language is chair, Kursi. So, Allah will protect you. Now this lady, she was not able to memorize Ayatul Kursi, which is with three ayats, it's easy to be memorized. What happened, that she heard some sound. She heard some sound, the burglar was inside her house, and he was taking the chair. So he was taking the chair and she heard some sound. So she started to say, Ayatul Kursi, 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 Ayatul Kursi, chair over chair, chair over chair. You know, the burglar heard the sound, he ran away, you know. I mean, it was her intention. She didn't know what to do, what to say. She started to say chair over chair, chair over chair. And the guy said, oh, I'm moving the chair. That means she's watching me. Let's get the hell out of here. So anyhow, Ayatul Kursi has great thawab. This Quran, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, you need to seek the causes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. You only we worship. You only we beseech help. But when we ask the 12th Imam to help us, we are seeking the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. If Imam Ali was there, won't I go and ask Imam Ali, oh Imam Ali, help me? Won't I go to Imam Sadiq to seek the causes of Allah on the earth? Asking the 12th Imam is also seeking the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. But you have this intention that Allah is the one who made the 12th Imam on the earth to help me. Everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, seeking help from Imam, reciting du'as, like Allahumma kun li waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan. Like, is Imam in danger? No. It's same like, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. When you ask Allah to send blessings on the Prophet is already blessed. But when you ask Allah to send the blessing on the Prophet, you are the one earning the blessings. You are the one seeking the blessings for yourself, on yourself. So when we ask Allah to protect the Imam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us also. Because we are all included in the system of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, in the circle of Imam. So if Allah protects Imam, that means all those who are seeking the dua for protection of Imam are also included in this dua. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin fi hadhi sa'a. And you all know the meaning inshaAllah. And then dua nudba, creating a bond between Imam every Friday in the morning time, which is the time of the appearance. As we will talk inshallah in our coming lecture, the time of the appearance will be dawn time, and it will be in Mecca. So in the dawn time, it is always good to communicate, open your heart to the Imam, and have a chat, have a visitation. Dua and Nadba, the words are so beautiful, especially at the end, when you went, Mata tarana wa narak, when will we see you and you see us? SubhanAllah, those beautiful words, if you will recite from your heart, believe me, your tears will come out. Because you will feel that Imam is listening to you. You are communicating with the Imam. Imam is beside you. And if you feel like that, then Imam is with you and he's listening to your words. Just try to open yourself to the Imam, create that strong bond between you and the Imam, and you will feel the blessing of the existence of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the most important thing, giving the pledge of allegiance to the Imam. If you can give the pledge of allegiance every day after Salah, that's excellent. If you cannot, at least Friday morning after Salatul Fajr, just say this statement. Allahumma, O God, hadihi bay'atun lahu. This is my pledge for him. On my shoulder, on my neck. Allahumma hadihi bay'atun lahu fi unuqi ila yawm al-qiyamah. Until the day of judgment. It is very important for us to observe these kind of connection. There are so many ways, but these are the most important things. Try to create a bond between you and Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. This is one of the important duties and tasks we have in the occultation. Then we have served the Imam. And we spoke a lot about number 7, serving the Imam. How do we serve the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? We participate in whatever spreads Islam, whatever spreads the education, whatever spreads the spiritual gathering, whatever spreads this connection between Imam and the people, participate in this. Become one of the soldiers, not carrying those kind of weapons. No. Soldiers in knowledge, soldiers in education. Be representatives of the Imam. When you start helping people in learning about Islam, you are representative of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. You are helping the Imam. So we have so many activities. And these activities require a lot of youth. You have this Islamic center, other Islamic centers, everywhere. The youth, they need to do activities. The Imam loves to see that the work in these Islamic centers. Many of the centers, they complain because there are no youth or there are very few ones they work. No. Get yourself involved. Oh, Maulana, there are politics in this center. There are politics in that. Ignore the politics. Forget the politics. Work for the 12th Imam. Do whatever you feel will make you close to the 12th Imam. Avoid those kind of things. There's no, most of the Islamic centers, they have politics. Sometimes these politics are bad. What can you do? You cannot eliminate them. You don't want to be like, create a different, no. Be with them, participate with them in the limits which you feel that you are serving the Imam and not serving those bad politics which you feel are not right. Serve the Imam. The bottom line is get involved in teaching the kids. Get involved in teaching the youth. Get involved. Get yourself involved in these institutes. These are places where Imam loves to see the activities. When you get discouraged, this is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not, in my history, you will not find perfect thing to work. Wherever you are going to work, there is something which you will disagree. And I mentioned, just keep this in your mind, we can agree to disagree. You will not find, because we have different brains, we have different angles of thinking, there will be differences, there will be different ways of working in different directions, different ideologies, different methodologies, but you do your work for the sake of Imam only, and see how the effect will be. So serving the Imam with your spirit, your body, your wealth, do amr bil ma'roof, وَالنَّهِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Enjoin people towards good. Prohibit them from doing bad. And educating others about Islam by participating in the institutes which teach Islam. But weekend school, Islamic center, masjid, Husayniya, Ma'tam, whatever titles. If you find a place where there are people that are working to spread Islam, to work for Islam, you disagree with few points, that's fine. Work with them in the points you agree with them. And finally, educating others about the Imam. The difference between point 7 and point 8 is, point 7 is educating about the Islam in general. Saving the kids from going into the drugs and corruption. Number 8 is educating people about the Imam. Creating that bond which you have between you and the Imam with those coming generation. Let them love the Imam. Let them create this bond. This is another point. This is not general education. Education others about the Imam, his coming, the signs of appearance, how to create bonds with the Imam. Number 9, we mentioned offering the pledge of allegiance after every salat. If not, then at least every dawn, every Friday dawn. And one of the ahadith which is mentioned, whoever offers pledge of allegiance to the 12th Imam, every day after his salah, he will see the Imam. He will see the Imam in occultation, either in the dream, either in reality. And we saw that if you see the Imam in the dream, then that is a real Imam. Because our A'imma, they mentioned strongly that Shaitan does not impersonate our body. He does not get our body. If you see us, then you have seen us. And finally, the 10th point, reciting the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam, the 12th Imam, loved to attend the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. If you have a majlis of commemorating the tragedy of Karbala, mentioning Imam Hussein, not necessary in Ashura, anywhere, every time, whenever you have opportunity, you want to recite majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and you are reciting it sincerely, the 12th Imam is with you. The 12th Imam attends the majalis. Many of the ulamas and arafas, they have spoken to the 12th Imam and they have seen, they all reflect that the importance of tragedy of Karbala to the Imam, the 12th Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. He loves to attend this. He blesses these majalis of the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And at the end, we mentioned few quotes of the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. I think inshallah tomorrow I'll mention these quotes. Tomorrow though I'm going to speak about the signs of the appearance of the Imam, and the time has caught up. I'll just mention these 10 points briefly, which is our responsibility. The active waiting of Imam, implementing the duties and responsibilities. Number one, I want you to, before you leave this hall, memorize these points, because this is what makes you close to Allah and creates a bond between you and the Imam. Duties, implement your duties, avoid haram. Ethics and morals, number two. Number three, preparation. Be prepared. Itself. That means when Imam comes, you are ready. When he says, no Imam, come later. No, you will not say. You will say, labbaika ya da'i Allah. I am here for you. You, your family, your beloved ones, prepare them. Preparation. Number four, working for Islamic unity. Unity means not just Shia and Sunnah, and not just Shia and Sunnah, involve every peaceful human being in the circle of unity. And number five, support the Maraja, the qualified and verified Maraja. Supporting is important, because those are the representative of your 12th Imam. Number six, creating a bond. This bond is very important. Once you create this bond, automatically you will serve the Imam. So create this bond by doing the mentioning several things we mentioned. Serve the Imam, we mentioned, participate in spreading Islam by your wealth, by yourself, by your knowledge, by whatever means, participate in spreading Islam. Number eight, educate people about the Imam. Number nine, offer pledge of allegiance every Friday dawn. If you can offer after every salat, oh God, this is my pledge of allegiance to the Imam, that's great. If not, at least every Friday on the dawn time. And at number 10, mentioning the majalis of dhikr of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. The 12th Imam told Shaykh al-Mufid, inna lanahduru afrahakum wa akrahakum. We attend your happy gatherings and your sad gatherings. The 12th Imam says, we attend. Inna lanahdhur. He comes to our happy gatherings and ours. So if you have these gatherings with sincerity, you have the Imam in between you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with this holy month of Ramadan and make this month the month of peace, prosperity, dignity for all the Muslims and every peaceful human around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the appearance of our 12th Imam soon and keep us among his loyal and sincere supporters in his occultation and after his occultation. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.